Good to be with you this morning. I appreciate the work that you're doing here in the area of Berea and in the Galesville area. And my heart and my prayers go with you in the work that you do here locally. Without solid, sound congregations like this one, I could not do the work that I do. It takes both those that are keeping the home fires burning as well as those that are willing to go that make all of this work together. And I just want to say thank you very much. And I want to thank the elders for their oversight. It's a joy to serve underneath them and to have their advice and their input as we make decisions as the work goes forward. And it's always a joy to be here at this congregation and to be with you. Anyway, we're going to be looking at the highway to holiness in this morning's lesson. And our text will be taken out of Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10. Trent read the previous verses, which were good because they actually tie in with what's going on here. They place it in its context. But Isaiah 35, beginning verse 8, says, "A highway shall be there, a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and a sorrow and sighing, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Now, first of all, God promises to build a highway. And this, of course, is reflecting upon the new way that would be coming upon the world. God had been dealing with man for many years, thousands of years, and in that dealing with man had had its ups and downs, and of course then the law had been established, and we had Moses and his impact upon the children of Israel, but then there's the talk of a new road, a new way, the highway of holiness, and we're going to be talking about that. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, Isaiah also talked a little bit more about this. He said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And so it was the job of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, to prepare the way for him, and both of them were to prepare the way for God's highway. And so this new way, this way to get to God, is what's under consideration. And that was fulfilled, of course, in John 1:23. It says, "And again, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah had said." So again, there's the fulfillment. What John and Jesus did was to make this highway. When you come to the New Testament, when you come past the Gospels and you come on over into the book of Acts, it's interesting that the early designation for the church was the way. If you look at Acts 9 and verse 2, he says, "And he asked letters from the synagogues." This is Saul when he was still persecuting the church. He asked letters from the synagogues. From him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, and if you'll notice, the word way in the New King James is capitalized, and the reason it is because it's a designation for this group of believers, the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Later on, Paul will himself say in Acts 24 and verse 14, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way," notice again he uses that same expression, "which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." This is found throughout the book of Acts. In fact, I won't have time to read all these verses, but if you want to jot them down through further study, you can find this, the way that this word way is used. You can find it in Acts 16, 17, Acts 18, 25 and 26, Acts 19, 9, and 23, and Acts 24 and verse 22. And so it's found in several different places, and it all refers to the church. And the church is the way of God. It's the way to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, what is this way to God? I want to look at this way to God. First of all, it is a clean way, according to our text. "The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others." If you're unclean, if you are a sinner, you're not going to be found in this way. The only way into this way is to find some way to cleanse yourself of your sins. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, John says, "But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So again, the way of holiness, it's called the way of holiness, should indicate to us that if we're going to be on that way, we've got to be holy. We've got to live a holy life. But we've got to some way find a way to cleanse ourselves of our sins. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness. There's your road again. Walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all sin. So as long as we're on the highway, we're walking in the light, and the blood of Christ will continue to cleanse us of all sin. So not only is it a clean way, it is a clear way. It is a way that we can understand. It's a way that is easy to follow once you're on it. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray, Isaiah says. There is security in this way. And sometimes I fear that as we answer a false doctrine, we go almost to the other extreme. But I want you to understand, as long as you're on this road, you're in the safe condition. As long as you're on this road, you're headed for heaven. As long as you're on this road, when you die, you are going to go to heaven. And so we need to understand that safety is found in this road. There is security in this road. John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. As long as you're on the road, it's safe. As long as you're on the road, it's secure. Nobody can snatch you off of that road. The only person that can take you off that road is you yourself. But nobody else can. The devil can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your enemies can't do it unless you are drawn by them. In other words, unless you listen to them and leave or exit the road, as long as you stay on the road, there's security, there's safety upon that road. Jude 1 and verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We need to understand that there is security for us if we want it, if we will seek it, if we do not abandon Christ. As long as we stay with Christ, we have security, we have safety. In Romans 14, verse 4, it says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And so God gives help. God gives aid to those who travel upon the road. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18 says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul expected that God could deliver him out of any hardship, any difficulty. As long as he remained true and loyal to Christ, he had nothing to fear. There's nothing that man could do to him that would draw him away from God. But then there's also simplicity in this way. It says, it talks about the fool shall not go astray. Matthew 11, verse 25 says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. One of the interesting things about Christianity is oftentimes those that are highly intelligent, those that are highly connected in the political world, those that are highly influential in social circles, those that are wealthy, they simply don't enter this highway. It's not because they can't understand it. It's not because it's too complex. It's because they think they're above it. And because of that, they ignore it. But here he says, those that are simple, those that are babes, they're the ones that notice it. They're the ones that will enter in. There is simplicity in the way. Mark 10, verse 15, assuredly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. In fact, we have to enter into it as a simple person. We have to, by faith, accept that Christ died upon the cross, that through His blood we have the forgiveness of our sins, and through fellowship with one another, we are able to walk in the light as we've just described, and through that process, we have the assurance and the promise of an eternal reward. So there's simplicity in the gospel. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. It doesn't take somebody, as we used to say, a rocket scientist to do this. It's something that is easily understood if you'll go to the Scriptures and read it. That's not to say there are not some things that are difficult to understand in the Scriptures. But the basic principles necessary to become a child of God and to remain faithful are very simple and easy to understand and easy to follow if we will choose to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, for you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. He doesn't say not any. He just says not many. But he says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the weak thing, or the things that are mighty. So here we find that there is simplicity in Christ. In fact, Paul would also go on to tell the Corinthians that he was concerned lest they were moved from the simplicity that was in Christ. But now, this all depends on if we stay the course. As long as we're in the highway, we're safe. As long as we're in the highway, we're okay. It's when we step off of that road that we get into trouble. John 8, verses 31 and 32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice the importance of abiding. Now, Jesus said nobody could pluck them from my Father's hand, but he didn't say we couldn't leave of our own accord. We still have the freedom and the volition of choice, and we can choose to leave anytime we want to. Jesus says if we abide in his word, we're okay. But if we leave or depart from his word, that's when we get into serious trouble. 2 John 1, verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And so if we abide in the doctrine, we're okay. If we step out of the path that leads to holiness, that's when we get into trouble. Security in the road, unsecure outside the road. It's dangerous to go our own way. You know, I was in Panama one time, my first trip outside the country, and I was walking along with a couple of other guys, and they had been to Panama before, but I hadn't. But we started up this alley because we were wanting to get over to the next road. We had a map with us, and that was the shortest way. And there was a Panamanian there, and he stopped us. And he says, no. And I couldn't speak Spanish very well, but one of my friends could. But he basically said, no, don't go down that road. It's too dangerous. In other words, if you walk down that road, you might get knocked in the head. They might seek to steal what you got or whatever. And so he told us to go around. So the longer way was the safe way. Well, a lot of times we want to take a shortcut. We think that the shortcut will get us there to heaven, and we find that it's a dangerous road and that we find ourselves not making it. So we need to be careful that we listen to the guidebook. We listen to what God has to say. But notice, not only is it a clean way and a clear way, it is a closed way. It says, no lion or ravenous beast shall be there. The redeemed shall walk there. Now think about that. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. The highway that we're talking about is an exclusive road. It's only for the redeemed. It's only for those that are holy. Again, we've already mentioned the fact that unless we are clean, we can't get on the road. But we also need to recognize that there are the dangerous things, the things that would destroy us. They're also not permitted upon this road. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 warns us, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil is out there. He's still out there. The problem is, he's out there. The security is on the road. As long as we're on the road, we're okay. Satan can't get to us. The lion can't get to us on the road. If we step off the road, then we're in his domain and we're in danger. Notice carefully what James says of this in James 4 and verse 7. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. What's the key then to putting the devil at flight? Is to submit to God. There is the highway of holiness. As long as we're submitting to God, the devil is put to flight. It's when we stop submitting to God or when we start listening to Satan that we find ourselves in trouble. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So if we will maintain our connection with God, then we have power over Satan. Satan can do nothing to hurt us, not everlastingly. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, if we are guilty of these things, we're not on the highway of holiness. However, he doesn't stop there. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. we can cleanse ourselves of these things. We can rid ourselves of these things. And when we do so, then we are fit for the highway of holiness. John 11, verse 26, it says, "Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? So as long as we're on the highway to holiness, as long as we're putting our faith and our confidence in Christ, as long as we have removed our sins through submitting to the ordinance of baptism, as long as we've done these things, then, and we're seeking to live the faithful life, we're walking in the light as He is in the light, then we have the assurance that we're okay. And we have protection from the evil influences of the world. It's only when we leave the road that we get ourselves in trouble. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you are redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, the redeemed shall walk there. Now, they were once a part of the world, but they have been redeemed. They've had their garments washed in the blood of Christ. And they now are without spot and blemish, and they are now fit to walk upon this road. So again, this road is a closed road. It is an exclusive way. And then it is a cheery way, or a cheerful way, we might say. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. John 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We can be happy in the world that we live in. Oh, the world's going to still cause us some grief and some trouble and some hardship. But again, there's nothing that the world can really do to truly harm and hurt us as long as we're in the light. Oh, they can ridicule us. They can cast out our name as evil. They may even take our physical life. But they haven't truly harmed us because they haven't touched our soul. Our soul is that which will stand before God and will spend eternity with God. And it will be reunited with a glorious resurrected body if we belong to Christ. And so we have the assurance that there's nothing anybody can do to truly, truly hurt us if we remain true and loyal to Christ. We will have tribulation in the world, but we have good news. We have something to be thankful for. We have something to rejoice over, something to be cheerful about. And that is the fact that God, or Christ, has overcome the world. Revelation 21 and verse 4, we have this assurance as well. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And so we have the assurance that as we walk in the light, again, one of the things that God will do is wipe away all of our tears. We will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will be done away with. What is this road, this highway of holiness? It is a clean road, or a clean way. It is a clear way. It is a closed way. And it is a cheery way. The question is, are you on it? Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." The broad way is the road that the world is on, and it goes anywhere. It's full of bumps and bruises, and it's full of curves and twists, and you can do anything that you want to on that road. But if you want to be on the highway to holiness, if you want to be on this road that we've talked about, this road to safety, this road to the Father, then you must enter in at the narrow gate. If we can help you with that process this morning, we'd ask that you repent of your sins, acknowledge Christ as Lord, be buried with Him in baptism. There's where you come in contact with that precious blood of Christ. There is where you're redeemed of your sins, and then you're able and fit to walk upon this highway of holiness. If as a child of God you've once entered this highway of holiness, but you find yourself on a side road, you've made a detour off the road, we want you to return into the highway of safety. We want you to return into this highway of holiness. If we can help you with that, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." If we can assist you in any way in putting you on this road or returning you to this road or keeping you on this road, please let your needs be known as we stand and sing the invitation song.